Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast, which doesn't really have a name, but I'm here today with some esteemed guests. One of them you already know, Ricky Gibbons. He will introduce himself shortly. And the first time he's been on a podcast with me, Mr. Jack Francis Johnson. How's it going?
Really good. Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah, wicked. And what are we doing first then? Intro, and then we'll have a
I think the whole theme for today is just like real way. We're having a mint time, and it's kind of like we wanted to freestyle a bit of a podcast, but make sure we were sort of covering some stuff that might be of value to others. But we sort of think like, you know, best place to start is just get to know everyone in it a little bit better. I think I'll raise the first question and I'll throw it at you, Johnny mate. I'll throw it straight at you. I'll bat it straight at you. I think, like, you've done your JF Media podcast, but nobody really, like, knows about you or, like, where you're from. And I think, like, a good question to start with might be, like, where you're from and how has that affected you or influenced you in regard to, like, being who you are today?
Interesting place.
Yes,
small place, interesting place. And, you know, in terms of my upbringing, it was very sort of like, in my household, it's Jamaican, do you know what I mean? So, like, I'm very proud Mancunian, very proud person where I'm from. And also, I feel like for me growing up, it was all family, you know. And, it has shaped who I am. It shaped my influences as well. Very close to my sister. She's a musician, a singer, creative, you know. She's very good at art. She's very good at pretty much everything, you know. Same with my brother. He produces music now. But same again, always been in around, even my cousins, talented athletes, singers, whatever, you know.
So, super rapid, Ian.
Yeah,
and Mike.
You know what I mean? It's just like, so that was the fam. So, you know, I always had strong family bonds growing up. You know, I had some close friends, still got some close friends now. But yeah, in terms of like me as a person, I feel like resilience, number one. Got that a lot from my upbringing. And yeah, sort of like school and the regular, you know, bullshit of school. And I suppose it's hard to say, you know, because you can look at certain events and say it shaped me or whatever. But in terms of like, I do think it shaped me. How it shaped me, good or bad, we'll see.
No, I think with you is like, obviously we've heard stories. So like, you've told us loads of stories. You've told us about your family and everything and so on and so forth. And like, I think for me, it's easier to understand maybe than you answering that question from what you said of like the way your mum is and the way your dad or like your family members and who you've been around and who you've actively pursued to be around and stuff like that. Even we had a conversation the other day and we were chatting about sports, like your upbringing in sports in school and just in that area and like, you know, being an athlete and always being good at it, like to what you are now. It's you know, being JF Media, doing the videography and photography, but obviously, you know, sort of especially having that niche with it of the fitness and so on and so forth, it's huge.
100%, 100%. And you know, when it comes down to this stuff, I think I'm in quite a privileged position, to be perfectly honest, because you know, I've always had, you know, supportive family, they've always pushed me towards sports. Started gymnastics when I was six, did it all the way until high school, and then in high school I was on pretty much every team, you know. I was already quite an athlete by then. So, you know, quite a privilege, and like luckily I had parents who pushed me towards that, which was, you know, from an upbringing, it wasn't that bad. How about yourself then? So like, growing up, I was young Ricky G on the streets of North Manchester.
I think what's interesting here is like, obviously you, when you were talking then, like you didn't really touch too much on your area, which I wanted to ask you and find out a little bit more, but I'll speak about my area first because obviously you lads, well, you're South Manchester.
Yeah.
I'm North, we're on two completely other sides, but it's mad how similar sort of each side is in the way, you know, your area is, for example, and the way my area is in a sense. Do you get what I mean? It's sort of like when you're on the outskirts,
I think Manchester is like that, and I think it's one of those cities, even though it is a big city, there's similar themes throughout, and there's good bits, there's bad bits, there's money, there's not money, you know,
yeah.
And I think, yeah, well, for instance, it's the Catholic schools, do you know what I mean? Like, I always remember playing, I've got friends from St. Matthew's, do you know what I mean? Like, I always played them in, like, the Cups. They were a very good team, we were a very good team. We'd always meet in the final. It's just, and then eventually going on to college, we go Severian and we all became mates.
Yeah,
and it was just like, oh, sound. Yeah. And it, but again, you're from North, I'm from South. But
dead similar backgrounds. Exactly, really
exact
similar.
Same. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Exact same. It's just, you've got a, I'm an M19 postcode. What are you?
Yeah, OL9 or.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's M40 one of them, or something.
Yeah,
like.
It's
interesting how similar it is. It's because, like, you think of, like, when you're young as well, like, obviously me growing up in North Manchester, you think of South Manchester and you think, wow, it's ages away.
Yeah.
Like, what's it like over there? It must be, oh, Didsborough sounds nice. Like, and then you go, right, well, no, we're in Burnage. And then it's like, right, it's different here. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, what I find interesting about us as well, though, is, like, I feel like our houses are on, like, reasonably okay streets.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
so I feel like my street never had much trouble on the street, right, when you're growing up. No. But you step off the street and you go into the surrounding area and it's like, right, we're in the jungle, man. Like, it just gets scary, doesn't it? Yeah. And it's just like you're growing up. And I think that's huge for us in the way us three are and the way we communicate with each other and growing up in those backgrounds where it's like you have your rougher estates and you're so mixed in with people who might be like maybe from a bit of a better background in a different area. I'm not saying like it's really affluential or anything like that, but it's one of those things where it might just be a little bit more well off, a little bit of a different life. And then you go to the opposite and you've got all your mates, obviously, you know, they're growing up on, you know, minimal funds, some can't even afford dinners, all these different things. And then for me, I felt like I was in the middle of all that. And it's like I got along with everyone, it didn't really matter.
But you can at least go to
we could talk about social events. That I feel like when I go to a social event, same with you, and I'd assume with you as well, is that you go to it and you can communicate with everyone.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where they're at, you can have a good conversation and get along well. And I think from my upbringing, growing up in like North Manchester, in that Moston area or like Failsworth, Chadderton, Blakeley, all around there, there is quite a lot of diversity between so many people, and it sort of gives you these tools to communicate and understand people better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is huge.
And I suppose for me as well, like it was the upbringing, and also, you know, for me as well, my parents are older, so my upbringing was different to a lot of my friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, so some of my friends would speak to their parents like the mates and stuff like that, but I never really had that, because it was always that kind of, you know, you're my mum and dad, I don't swear around you, I use my manners, I'm polite, and you know, everybody's older, my grandparents are older, you know, I'm a different generation, so like most of my friends' mums and dads, you know, were young enough to be my dad's son or daughter, you know what I mean? So it was very different for me as well. So like in terms of communication, you're around older people, older people are different. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a massive age gap. You know, my oldest brother's 53 now. Most of the parents at school were like, you know, they're that age, you know what I mean? So my brother is the same age as some of my friends' mum and dad. So it's a very different situation. But I think relating to different people from different generations, it's kind of like it comes from the house first, doesn't it, like before the area. And I feel like, you know, with us, we all share a kind of like, you know, our mum and dads are very strong forces in how we communicate with the world and how we see the world as well. So
definitely.
It's quite an interesting one. Yeah,
like you said, P's and Q's, like.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those, and it's interesting you touch on the grandparents thing, because I think the fact that we were able to, you know, I knew three out of the four of my grandparents. Unfortunately, I've still got my gran in my life, who's a birthday the other day, and she's 92. And it's, you know, I speak to her every day through text, you know what I mean? But it's having that, you know, not everyone has that, you know what I mean? Not everyone has parents, but not everyone has that, the grandparents. And I think, especially that generation, the fact that they went through a war, you know, it was different back then, and it was different for our parents, it's different for every generation, but I think the, like you say, P's and Q's, values. I always say a good phrase, which I think it's really, you know, and it epitomises myself, and I'm sure we've used. I was brought up, not dragged up. And I really appreciate that the older I get. And, you know, hopefully one day if I do have kids, it'd be the exact same. I'd teach them that. And, it, you know, it's manners. Because manners don't cost anything. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you're at. That is something that has stood me in good stead. And if I ever did get out of line, which was a rarity, just because, I didn't live in fear, because my parents were clever with us. They knew we grew up in, you know, in Manchester, and like I grew up off Kingsway, do you know what I mean? It's a huge dual carriageway. So they always trusted us and give us rope to play with. But at the same time, it's like, if you messed around, and obviously there were certain incidents, like every kid happens when they grow up.
Yeah.
And I think I did take liberties at certain times, because I was the middle kid. I had an older brother in Gaz, you know what I mean? He was just... So I just, you know, tagged along a lot of the time and kind of...
Shout out, Gaz.
You know, big up Gaz on that. Come on. But again, I was very fortunate, and I almost grew up, you know, probably quicker than... Usually kids my age, because again I did have older brothers, I hung around with them, do you know what I mean? Again,
we were talking about
the other day, like playing out, and you just got en route, didn't you? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like you just went and played out, like we'd be out all day, you know, as long as we told mum and dad where we were and you were home for tea, there was no questions, sweet. Do you know what I mean? But if you brought trouble to the door, you know what I mean? You were going to, you know, reap the consequences, mate, and that happened a few times, and you know it didn't happen again, because again, one, I didn't want to embarrass my parents, my mum being a teaching assistant in the local school, but also my dad, you know, he grew up in a council estate in South Wales, which was totally different from where we're from, you know, a city centre, but again, similar values, and that, he always talks about that with my mum and my dad, how they met, and you know, stark contrast, but obviously they had very similar upbringing, in, again, values, you know, the way they were brought up, the way you treated people, and that has rubbed off on us, and hopefully it will rub off on the people around me, and I think it shows, you know, the fact that we're so close in the way we are, do you know what I mean? It's we treat each other with respect, the fact that we've come away, you know what I mean? And it's the same, like when we've been out, we've gone for food, we always say thank you, we always appreciate the staff. It's like, it's little things like that, which is, it's huge for me, that, because again, we've work those jobs, do you know what I mean? I remember when I used to, you know, waiter for people, and you know, I've always had a job that was always instilled in me. You know, I had a job when I was 12. It was, I wanted to work, because it's, again, it's values, you know, money in your pocket, but also it teaches you, you know, the way of the world, and you know, the way of the world's harsh at times. But like I say, fortunately, we were brought up in a good way. We had a lot of love in our family. We didn't have loads of money, but what we did have was, we didn't want for anything, do you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have spends or anything like that. It was just, you know, if you worked hard and you got your head down, you were able to get those football boots, because again, like you were saying, sport was the avenue for us. You know, fortunately, we were good at sport, and our parents, like, gave us, you know, now when I think about it, especially as an adult, when you think, God, they were grafting all week, and then every weekend they were taking Gaz to footy, they were taking me to football, they were taking Sian to netball. It was, you know, we were so fortunate with that. You don't realise it. You can't really.
You can't really do that. No.
Like, you've grown up and you had a snippet of it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's where, like, something where it might be in a bit of contrast there is, you know, you two were, like, always naturally talented at sport, weren't you?
Yes.
I was decent, but I was very small for my age, like very, very small. And also, my brother was very, very good at everything. So, for me, when I was younger, it was like, I think as a confidence thing, I wasn't as good. Whereas when I kind of grew into things, even though I was probably half decent, to be honest, but you always comparing yourself, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Mm. Especially when you're younger. And then as I kind of grew and I filled out and got confidence in other areas of my life as well, I excelled at sport, but again, it's something that, you know, looking back at, you go, oh, but also at the same time, I'm glad I had those failures at sport as well, because it shaped me in my career and what I've moved on to. But yeah, it's interesting, because again, you don't think like, oh, I wonder what I was, but until someone asks you or says it, you go, oh yeah, it's like, but yeah, probably naturally But again, gifts and talents are always different, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We all have strengths and stuff like that. But yeah, probably compared to you, like me and Johnny would probably a good level athlete and in different sports.
To be fair with me, I never really thought about it in that way, in terms of like sports. I just thought, this is fun, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And I was pretty good at it, but I didn't really think, oh, I'm really good, I don't have to try, because I just tried because I wanted to do it. Like, I wasn't really like, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm good at this, I can start being, you know, a certain way with people or anything. I just did things because I was genuinely interested and I had a lot of energy. Still have a lot of energy now, do you know what I mean? So it's like, in that sense, I feel like one of my older brothers, Jason, he taught me how to do backflips when I was like 5. And then, you know, like most kids, when they can do something, they want to do it all the time and show everyone. And I'd do it off everything. I'd trash the house. And then my mum was like, you know, we need to take him somewhere. Yeah. You know, so every Saturday it was gymnastics then, do you know what I mean? So that's what happened, really. Yeah. And then in school, it was like excess energy, because I feel like in the house I was just running around like this, and you know what I mean? And it's like what we were saying before, most of the trouble I got into when I was a kid is just me just, you know, messing about, like, because I had so much energy and I was just, like, I just had to do something with it. So that's where it came from with me. But it wasn't like, I didn't think to myself, you know, at 5, like, oh, let me do these sports now. Okay, and I need to get into this. It'll give me some good discipline as I get older. So you weren't really into sports until you was in year 9. So what were you up to then? What did you do?
That's the interesting thing. So, like, so basically, growing up, no one in my family really played sport, right? So apart from your sister. My sister played for United, she was really good, but she sat that off by the time she was 14, and then that was, you know, it's a 7-year age gap, I've just turned 7, so there wasn't really much going on for me then, and because I weren't really in that sporty background, it was like, I wasn't really doing much in that area. Obviously, I'd love playing Eds and Vods with my mates in the park, and, you know, Wally for endless hours, and then just, like, just being naughty, basically, as a kid. Non-stop, like, knock a door run.
Just getting chases, isn't it, man? You're just playing out, mate, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think that my mum and dad probably thought I was an absolute saint, because when I was like, please, thank you, and I was like that with everyone. Yeah, but then when, you know, in the area, you have such bad influences who you're hanging about with, it's so easy to go in an opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
I remember by the time I got to 13, I remember sort of going, you know, I was smoking 6, and I was like, 13? Am I even younger? And I was like, what am I doing? Yeah, and it was just, do you get what I mean? It was like drinking a Strongbow and smoking a cig at 13. It's just, and I remember saying to myself, and I remember, like, I was looking at myself all tracking out, like in the 9-1 trackies, and I was like, I don't want to be this kid. Don't want to happen. So that's where, after that, I used to play, like, with one of my best friends, Michael. He got me on his basketball team, and that's when we started in, like, year 7, but it wasn't until like year 9 where I was classes that I actually got sporty, because I used to go and play the games and that, didn't really care, interested in it.
Yeah.
And then it was like I got to year 9, it was like, no, I want to be good at sport. I've never been good at sport. I actually thought I couldn't be good at sport because I weren't a sporty kid. And then it was like, no, I actually can be. So then I started smashing basketball non-stop. And the same happened with athletics, you know, when I realised I could throw a javelin a decent amount, nothing major, nothing to win gold all the time, but I could throw it. I was like, oh, I can throw stuff as well. Sweet, I wonder what else I can do. Run. No, I can't run. I could not run.
Cardio rig.
I used to get absolutely smoked at running. And then it was like, well, no, I can probably get better at running.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, I used to run 10Ks in an hour and 10 minutes. And it was like, fast forward 2 years after, and I'd average 35 minutes every single night. Might go up to 40 sometimes if I was absolutely shattered. And I used to run that at 11 p.m. every single night, smashing 10Ks. And it was just, that's when I started to prove to myself, you know, on all these occasions, oh, no, I can do these things. And obviously that had a reflection into, you know, my story, which we spoke about.
Yeah, that's it.
At the age of 14, 15, going, I'm going to become a personal trainer, I'm going to absolutely smash it, and, you know, I'm going to become hench. I never become hench, but, you know, the other stuff I'd done and I smashed it, and he was like, that's what sport brought that to me.
Yeah.
And it brought this new mindset of challenging myself and pushing myself out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Whereas for a lot of people, like, they grew up doing it and it was just normal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'd watch them and be like, you're mint, how can you, like, just go to a football match and not be scared to play?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a good one, though, for you, Jack. When was the first time you sort of, like, within a sport, because, like, you've done sport a long time, but when was the first time you sort of, like, you weren't good enough and you had to overcome it?
Probably football was one for me, because the clubs I played for, like Fletcher Moss, which is obviously, you know,
very good team.
Famous club. You know, a lot of professional footballers have come out of there, even like really good semi-pro and just, again, really good amateur team. You know, the standard was ridiculous, like really, really, really good. And in my year group, like every year was, you know, they won everything. Leagues, county cups, everyone knew Fletcher Moss. I remember going to uni and a lad spotted me because he knew because I played for Fletcher Moss. It was just one of those ones.
Yeah.
But again, because I was small, wasn't really that confident, I just didn't get played at all. Do you know what I mean? I was on the bench a lot. And then they set up a B team and we were good. And again, that was what was hilarious. We had a B team and we'd win leagues. It was hilarious. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's like, how are they doing this, man? But that's what it got. It was just the standard was ridiculous. And then I went to other clubs and that's what was interesting. I went to a club in Stockport called Apollo. What was the other? I went to a fantastic team called Chorlton Sports. And the thing is, wherever I went, we won. And because I brought that standard of like...
wherever I went, we won.
But again, I think it was that standard and that competitiveness and that, you know, the stand... Again, because I'd be playing against my brother and his mates who were like... Their school team and their, you know, they won a national championship. They were the best team, high school team in the country when they were 13, 14. So that's who I was playing against every week. And I was not just smaller and younger than them. I was the smallest, you know, in my year and I was 2 years younger than them. So my standard compared to that. So when I went and played at these other clubs, I was just like ripping it up because I wasn't scared of, you know, again, because of that, having that older brother and playing with them. But again, it was that winning mentality. But having that failure, I remember there was another team I went for. It was the first team I went for. What were they called now? Something Eagles. I can't remember now. But I didn't get on the team and I was crushed. I'll never forget that. Like, I was crushed. I felt failure for the first time. And like I said before, it was the best thing for me.
Yeah.
Because, and it's probably something to yourself, like you fail, but they're the lessons that you need as a young person, as an adult.
Yeah,
but especially when you're younger, you understand of like, oh, it's not the end of the world. You think it is, but it's not. You learn from failure. You don't learn when you win, really, you know, unless
you've got to learn how to win and you've got to learn how to
it's,
win.
But losing was a huge lesson for me.
Yeah,
and it's helped me, especially my career, because I'm constantly being told nah.
And I think a good way to look at winning and losing is never as bad as you think it is, and never feels as good as you think it will.
Yeah, but especially when you're a kid as well, you know, you take everything so personal, don't you? And it's just like that is your life. When actually, you know. All you want to do is just play out with your mates. And again, I was very lucky. I had so many great mates growing up. But again, sport was always the thing. You know, it was footy, man.
Yeah.
It was just, we played footy every day, 365 days a year. Didn't matter. It was happening. And then as I got older and got interested in other sports and went to other sports. And again, I think also that's something that I wouldn't say take for granted, but I realised when I went to university, you realise growing up in Manchester, the facilities and the standard is so high compared to other places. When you go to these, you know, institutes or, you know, come across a different level, and obviously whether it's a county level, like when I played for Manchester Boys when I got a bit older, and you're playing against, say, Liverpool, or you're going up to Northumbria or Durham or whatever, you know, we'd beat a lot of these teams because the standard was so high in Manchester. Getting on that Manchester Boys team was, you know, was huge. It was, it was one of the proudest, you know, moments in my football kind of career. But then again, it got to a certain point, and then I just, because of the travelling and all that, I just didn't want to do it. So, and then I got interested in rugby. So it was just, it's...
So what do you think about, so like, was there any significant point within that where you thought, you know what, this is really hard, and did you overcome it, or did you quit, or what happened?
Well, that team that had the first failure of not getting on, they were all a year older than me. But right, I took it so personal. Mm. So then it was just, my dad was just like, well, we'll just take you to another club and you can go in your own year. So again, I think that's when I went to that Apollo, I think it was. Mm. Played there for a year or two. Mm. Was good, played with my mates, you know, it was good. But then I remember going to that Charlton Sports, and that's when I was back in Manchester then, and the standard was really good. But we were a Division 2 side, we won that, then we went up and we won the Division 1 side. And but yeah, having that not getting on the team. And
yeah, getting a bit of a knock.
Yeah, it was as you, like I say at the time, it's, and it's hilarious now, like I ride past that ground all the time where I remember it, and it's just like, it's still like, you know, it gets you, you know, you remember that. I remember when, you know, say, doing, weirdly, when I was doing, say, like the marathon, weird things like that, those memories, you know, when you do need to dig deep and you need to, you know, you know, go back to those tough times in your life. And again, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't tough at all. But at that moment in time, it was the biggest thing in my life, not getting on that team.
Did you come out, so after that, did you come out raring to go, thinking I'm going to play the best somewhere else? Or did you kind of just, did it deflate you and you lost your confidence again?
No, I think I've always had that, you know, and if, again, going back to upbringing, I've always had that chip on my shoulder where oh yeah, you're not going to pick me, or you don't think I can do it. You know, sound, okay. And it's, and sadly, it does take me that sometimes to have that knock to go.
Yeah.
But again, everyone takes things differently, and I've harnessed that and realised that's something in me. So sometimes I'll do that. I will set myself a ridiculous goal. To fail, and then go, right, what have I learned from that? And then I still do that to this day. I've still got really kind of high aspirations. But again, I think that's how you evolve. That's how you get better. You know, you have to, you know, you learn from that. So having that failure was so impactful for me long term. Short term, it was like, they say it's the end of the world, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's your life. But, you know, again, in the grand scheme of things, and other things in my life happened at that time that put it into context. And you just go, it's a game, you know. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I suppose at the time, though, it's not just a game. It's your whole life.
Oh, but it was. It was. I just, all I thought was, I want to be a footballer. I'm going to be a footballer. That was it. And then when it was like, of course. And, and also as well, for myself, again, that I probably was a self-aware early doors as well, because again, I knew the standard of my brother and his level, and also I knew as well how difficult it was to become a professional footballer. And there was people in my brother's year, my brother, who were getting offered contracts here, there and everywhere, and then other players who weren't, and I was like, they're so good, how are they not?
I always say kids are narcissists, though, because at the end of the day, you know it's hard to become a footballer, but you think you're going to be the one to make it. You just do. And as a kid, you just do. You think, well, I can do it, I'm sick. Kick that ball in top bins. What more?
I always remember when I used to teach, and it was a quote I live by, and I think it's a fantastic quote: harsh reality is better than false hope. And some of the kids who I used to teach, you know, a couple of them would be at clubs and all that, and I'd always encourage them, do you know what I mean? But I'd also be real with them and be like, you need to get your studies sorted, you need to get your head down, because football's not forever. But also it's like, and it is sad, but it was true. I was like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Because I know lads who are far better than you at your age and were more disciplined. So, and they didn't make it. So I hope you prove me wrong, but, and I don't think any of those kids did make it in the end. And again, what is making it? Do you know what I mean? What is success?
Statistically, if you think about it, if you're not signed as a professional footballer and you're in high school at maybe 15, 16, the chances of you making it is less than 1% in terms of a professional footballer playing in the Premiership at a major team. It's less than 1%.
Especially nowadays, you know, we're, again, fortunate with the clubs that are in our city, two of the biggest clubs in the world. And again, that was the standard. Yeah. And in even the surrounding areas, like your Boltons, your Blackburns,
they
were fantastic. Oldham were a fantastic academy as when we were growing up. Burnley were a great academy growing up.
You know, we're talking about Stockport County, lad.
You know, this is, again, another great club. One lad I know who I did teach, he's at Stockport now.
Yeah.
And he was buzzing when he told me. And I was buzzing for him because, again, it's like, you know... You have this thing, I'm going to play in the Prem. And I remember saying to my mates at the time, I'd just be buzzing playing the Championship or League One or whatever, do you know what I mean? And again, it's so funny as a kid, like you say, I'm going to be a footballer, I'm going to do this and that. And then, and also as well, it's not all about, you know, I ended up, you know, falling in love with my creative side.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm an actor, do you know what I mean? And I work in the creative industry, I, you know, direct and produce and do all stuff like that. It's, you know... Getting involved with plays, you know, going to see plays again. Another
right. We've drifted off now in terms of subject matter. Well, Well, I'll ask the same question to Rick about any significant.
Before we do that, you're obviously on that point. What you're touching on, something that I think we should speak about in the future is the support. You know, for people like, and that whole topic, like you said, narcissists for the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking little narcissists getting about.
Just to let you know, not every kid is a narcissist.
They are. It's all about me. Go on.
The thing is, like, the support systems that are in place, and I feel like, back to that first question, we have really good support systems in place.
Yeah.
When you don't make it, you've got the support system to then go into your creative side, enjoy your fitness.
Yeah.
But let's not dive into it, but it's something to speak about.
Well, it's one of
tell
those.
Tell me about yours, shut up, tell me now. When
did you fail? Have you gone great? To be fair, for me, there was a certain times where, up to about 16 when I left school, was like, I found doing sports in school against other people in my school easy. I was always in the top five of every single sport. Like anything I tried, I was usually one of the best. Do you know what I mean? Probably, apart from football, but I was always faster than everyone. So I could just run past you and run into the net if I wanted to. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, in terms of that, my speed always got me out of jail. Do you know what I mean? And I was always fast. I was always coordinated. I was always quick. I was always good at stuff. So I remember in athletics, actually, and this is why I started athletics when I was 16. So there was this guy, he went Pars Wood, actually. He's called Darren. And every time I got through to, like, you know, the better, you know, you go to, like, your school district and you go to the counties and nationals and all that stuff. And every time I got to a certain stage, he was always there looking nonchalant, chilling, like a little dick, right? And then he'd sit there and watch everyone knock the bar off at, like, 160. And then he'd be like, oh, I suppose I better warm up now. And I hated him. Absolutely hated him. So I remember... After I left school, I did high jump at that point, and I thought it was pretty decent. Do you know what I mean? I did 160. Nobody else could do that. I was like, I'm sick. And then I went down to Sale, and went and talked to the coach. My dad was like, oh, my kid's pretty good at high jump and all that stuff. Got there, and guess who my training partner was? He was Darren. Yeah. So it was like, and yeah, he was still nonchalant and chilled, but just an incredible athlete. And the 3 years that we trained together, my PB went from 160 to 197. So, I mean, yeah, that and to be fair, he dragged me up. Do you know what I mean? I didn't pull him down, he dragged me up. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those things. And that's the first time I really had to try and had to stick to something for a prolonged period of time. And I think that was a big turning point for me, because I thought, well, when you're in school, you're the best of a shit bunch, really, aren't you? But when you have people who've dedicated years of their life to a certain sport, you're never going to be better than them, are you? Not as a 16-year-old kid. Even kids who are talented, really talented, you know what I mean? They still have to work hard with it. So that was the first time for me, yeah. Next question.
I was waiting to hear, like, I was crying my eyes out and then, you know, this, that and the other. I remember the first time for me and it was like, it was in Jolie Meach Centre.
Yeah.
And it was like, we got to the finals. I thought, oh, I've got decent at basketball. I've been practicing most nights. And we're in the finals. Anyway, the buzzer's gone. I've got fouled as the buzzer's gone. If I score the basket, we win. We win the finals. However, I wasn't, until this point, we didn't really practice free throws in my team or anything like that. So the free throw that I needed to win the game, I had no practice for. And I was like, I cannot miss this.
Yeah.
And if I miss this, I am shit, right? And he's no in between. I am just the shittest person ever. That's what was going on in my head. And I took the ball, and it was, oh, I was fuming. There was like 300 people watching me all stop their games. And it's all the older lads who are now sick and everything. And I'm like, I don't want these boys seeing me mess this up. I'll be absolutely furious. And then it was just literally, boom, went up, shot the free throw, got two shots. I got the first one into equalise. And the second one was to win.
Yeah.
And then I shot, and then just like bounced it off the rim. And I remember immediately after missing, everyone was just like, oh, like that. And then I just turned around, and I didn't speak to no one. I just walked straight out into my mum and dad's car, sat in the back of the car, and went, started crying my eyes out, head in the seat. I was like, oh my god, I missed it. I'm like, never want to play again. It was an absolute mess. And then what happened was I got home, yeah. And the first thing that I must have been in a deep place on the way home, because I got home and it was like straight outside, like 11 p.m. at night, basketball in hand. I'm shooting fucking free throws, man, and I'm not going to bed. And I practiced free throws and I practiced basketball every single night until the new season. And then I come back and it just domed it off every single game. Every single game we smashed, we won the league, we won the finals, and it was completely life changing. That sparked a work ethic in me that I never knew I had.
Yeah.
It was like I was actually skipping to hang about with my mates to just play basketball. He's like, do you not want to come play basketball with me? Well, if not, then I'm going. Like, I'm going to go play basketball and shoot free throws. Yeah. And that's where like my intense work ethic started to be developed. And obviously it came from maybe potentially a place of insecurity, of not being good enough and stuff like that. But also I think it overall had a positive effect. And then the second time was when I ran the 400 metres and the teacher was like, just go as fast as you can, right? And you just do it as fast as you can. I was like, sick. I've never ran more than 100 metres in my life, right? Apart from on a basketball court. So I get in and I just bolt it and I smoked everyone by about 10 metres in front of the lad behind me. So I was in first, but I was only at 200 metres. And then it was like, but everyone's, it's like, oh, your mates that are going, Rich Rapid.
What was this? School sports day? Yeah. Every school, like, it's everyone's like, even worse. Yeah.
Literally. And then everyone spoke past me, even the fat kid at the end spoke past me. I'm like, why is he beating me? And I just walked across the line and then I stood back, and the teacher, I think it was Mr. Brooks or someone like Mr. Rogers or something like that, and they were just looking at me as if to say, you absolute. And I was like, you told me to run as fast as I can. That's what I did.
Yeah, took it literally.
I didn't know I had a tank that I'd run out. Like, you know, basketball court ain't longer than 100 meters. I've never had to do this in my life. That was the second time.
That's like 800,
that was. 800, well,
spank the first lap and then see the ones.
Well, they put me on 800 the next year. So I actually just jogged that chilled. And I was like, I'm not here. I was only going to finish near the last person.
Yeah.
I'll be happy. But that sparked the running then.
Mm.
And that's, I would say, running addiction, which I'm glad I've got away from, because it took over my life. But yeah, that's mine, which I think are pretty funny stories, though. It's stupid, isn't it? Like, how much it sort of... all three of us are very motivated and driven, and especially if something goes wrong, we no longer just go, like, well, that's all right. We sort of go, right, well, we need to figure this out and make improvements for it. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Unless have you got a different question that you want to ask?
No.
Have you got one?
No, I'm not right now.
I'll
tie it in.
I've got a good question, because it's like, we were speaking about money the other day, and all three of us said that we're not money motivated.
No.
And it's like, we obviously understand money is a vehicle that carries you to the lifestyle you want to live and support it.
Yeah.
But like, I think if an interesting way people can find out about us and what we like, what we want in life and what we like and who we are, maybe it reflects it, is if your money wasn't an issue, what's the lifestyle you would have? What would you pursue? What would you do? Like, who is Johnny if he doesn't have to constantly work to earn money? Which is an interesting question, isn't it? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. Ah, you go first, Jack.
Go, Jack.
I'd just be doing what I'm doing now, but just in a quicker scale. Making films, creating content, training. I'd travel a lot more. I think that's the big thing for me. I'd I've been fortunate to go to some amazing places in the world. Really, really fortunate. Again, with my work as well, and sport as well. But I'd go to the, I'd love to go to New Zealand. You know, I'd love to go to Australia. I'd love to go to Asia. It's the part of the world that I've not been. So that'd be a big part of. What I'd do. And again, I think taking time for myself as well. I remember I didn't go on holiday for 5 years once because I was so, driven to, I can't take a day off and I've always got to be, my phone's, I've got to say yes to every job. Do you know what I mean? Again, going back, I had a job since I was 12, so I'm not work shy at all. And again, that was through my parents, they're absolutely grafters. And, so I think that would probably be a big one for me. But yeah, I'd just be doing what I'm doing now, on a bigger scale. And also, we did it recently. I was fortunate last year to make a film with my friends, and I was able to call in a lot of favors and get some amazing creative people on set. And that was through years of working and networking and meeting people, and again calling in favors. Whereas next year we're going to do that again. Whereas now, if I did have a load of money, I'd be able to go. I can pay everyone, and I probably would run myself into the ground as well, because that's what I did for 4 days. I just was so, on it for 4 days. But again, you have to be, because and sometimes you do have to do that. So I'd probably be aware of that and say, actually, I need to hire a few other people to focus on those jobs, because that'd probably be it.
It sounds like give you a lot more freedom.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it's
which
it's,
is a standard.
Yeah.
But then also, sounds like you if it wants, obviously, because we do, everyone has to earn the wage. And
yeah, of course.
On, and it can be quite consuming, depending on your situation.
Mm. Yeah.
And it gives you that gives you a way to sort of look after yourself more.
Yeah, I think that's what I think over time, and I think we're all have been aware of your health and well-being and looking after ourselves with training. But I think now, as we do get older. It's also your health and your happiness, and understanding the balance between the two as well. Running yourself into the ground is not going to be positive long term. And I think we've all been guilty of that at times. Sadly, it takes us to be, ill or something negative to happen.
Yeah.
And even doing this, what we've been doing the past couple of days, it's been amazing. Mm. We've still been doing what we normally do anyway. We've been training or creating content, but. A much relaxed feel. Do you know what I mean? It's like that's it, innit? And I think we're all getting a bit more aware of that as we get older. It's like, do you know what? Actually, we do have to, be present and enjoy.
One of the reasons why we get on so well.
Yeah, of course it is.
We've all shared that experience in the past, which has caused that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But go on, you're smiling, you're everything.
No, because you know what it is, right? Because I'm listening to Jack speak, right? And this is why we love Jack, right? Because he just, without saying it, I was like, you'd help people, because that's what you do. You help people now and you've got no money. You've got you've only got your network and your manners. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you've got no money. I'm saying,
I haven't. So I haven't got,
If you had 500 million in the bank, you'd help more people, because that's what you do anyway. You just help people. That's you'd share.
It's nice to be nice, isn't it?
That's what you're doing. Like, when you were saying that as a segue, I could just sum that up. One sentence. Jack helps people. Full stop.
I just make everyone a brew, innit? A brew. It's got around, innit?
What, your dog's died?
Yeah.
What a brew.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have a load of dogs, that's what I'd do. I'd have pure dogs and cats, mate, and a farm.
Yeah.
Trips with the boys, boom, you boxed off.
Yeah, man. Do you know as well what I'd definitely do? Because it's really helped me, and, it is that kind of, yoga and mindfulness and stuff like that. I would 100% pass it on to, for everyone, but especially younger men. And, I was fortunate. I taught for a few years, and every now and then an ex-pupil comes up to me, and it happened the other day when we were at the thing with Andy.
Yeah.
And sometimes people will recognise me because they might see me in something. And it's very difficult that, because you're like, I've done so many different things. I don't know, it is a bit embarrassing sometimes. But the ones who remember for you when I taught them, it's so nice that, and see that they're doing well and they're happy and they've.
How long were you teaching for?
I taught for about, and coaching as well, because I was coaching as a young adult. And then I got my degree, and then I taught in like primary high schools, and I did that for about 4 or 5 years.
All right, so pretty good amount of time.
Yeah, a long time, and then it got to a point where I got offered other work, and I kind of thought, well, I remember one of my old teachers said it to me. We're in the staff room because I taught at my old school, and he just was like, "Do it." Do you know what I mean? Like, you can fall back on this, but also he was very much saying like, "Don't do what I've done for the past 40 years. You're better than that. You've got more to offer." And for him to say that was a huge thing for me, because I looked up to him a lot. Shout out to Mr. Greenleaves and Mr. John, because they were Mr. Roberts as well, because they saw something in me, which was, you know, you can do this and you're very good at this, but you are able to help. And I haven't at times, do you know what I mean? I probably have shied away from it, but again, it's in us, it's who we've been, the way I've been brought up. And now as I get older, and like I said, if I had, you know, endless money, that's what I'd do. I genuinely would want to, you know, help people, and especially young men, because sadly at the moment, it feels like every other day someone's losing a life, or, you know, negative things are happening. And it's, you know, life is hard, but there's, you know, again, why we're so close, and we've got a really good group of friends and support systems, and, you know, we check in on each other, and that's something I'd, you know, definitely, you know, try and help people with, because it's a minefield at the moment, and it's, you know, and young men especially, you know, not being able to have those tools. And I think through sport we learnt those tools, and it's not like we've figured it out or anything, but we've also realised like how imperative it is to train, it is to look after your health and well-being. It is, you know, it's a direct correlation. When I'm happy and I'm healthy, it's because I am doing sport. And now what it is, it's for me in the morning, it's like practicing yoga, it's, you know, it's doing these triathlons, that mad things that are crazy, but
doesn't cost too much money. Nah, man. Looks after your health.
Yeah,
still part of the theme.
Going for a walk, man.
I'm the same as well. Yeah. Like when I look back on, you know, it's easy to look backwards and kind of analyze it, isn't it? But I always remember in the times of my life where I've been the unhappiest, I've not been training.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it's the, you know, like we were saying, it's a part of your identity at that point, isn't it? It's a part of you that makes you feel good, and it makes you feel like you're good at something, and it gives you a confidence. And maybe other areas of your life, you may be hurt, you might be upset, you might be not confident, but that was the place for me where it bring me back to, I'm an athlete, I'm good at this, I have power in this area, I have control in this area of my body and myself, and that gives you, you know, a lot of confidence.
100%.
But what's yours?
Right.
What would you? If money wanted
500 million in the bank, right?
Yeah, you got 500 million. What's the score? What's happening?
I think, obviously, this is why I know that I'm going to be doing what I do now, because if money was not an issue, I'd still be making content. Yeah. I'd still be training. I'd still be doing pretty much all the things I'd be doing now. And I think the other thing, you know, along the lines of what Jack was saying as well, I'd basically, I don't know if I've got the book around here. Do we have the book? Yeah, the book's right here, actually. I'm using it on my microphone. It's Tribe of Mentors. And basically, Tim Ferriss, he just goes around and interviews, like, everybody who's exceptional in any area. He goes around and interviews them. I would probably make a film of this book. I'd go around interviewing every single person who's reached enlightenment, who's made money, who's good in business, who's, you know, mastered something. I'd go around and I'd document it, and I'd put it out there and help people. That's what I'd do. That's what I'd do.
Love it.
Yeah. What about you?
So, be a top G.
Yeah, I think until recently,
be top G. already is, mate.
I think until recently. Well, I think the interesting, again, is that one of the reasons why I asked that question, because I knew it would be a common trend between all three of us.
We'd just be doing this, lads, wouldn't we? Like, we'd be doing this. We'd just be going to other, like I said, on the other side of the world, we'd be going to visit places, I think, because I genuinely think that. I think, for, you know,
we've been on this podcast for 43 hours now.
Yeah, it's we'd have other people doing it for us, so we don't have to really just turn up.
Yeah.
Go on, mate, go on.
But for me, it would be My main goal is to work on myself, right? That's my main goal. Mm. So if money wasn't an issue, and let's say I had this unlimited pot of money, I would use those funds to work on myself. Mm. It might sound quite selfish, but it's quite selfless in terms of the reason why I do it. Yeah. And the reason why I do it is to be of better value to everything and everyone.
Yeah.
So I would, and the ways in which I do it now are through my habits, through my reading, through my training, through, you know, practicing different languages or meditating. That's the free stuff, well, the cheap stuff that I do now that allows me to progress and work on myself, along with like pushing myself out of my comfort zone, working with both my businesses and making sure that each one is progressing me as well. But if the money was there, I would then be able to most likely accelerate that a little bit quicker, because I would be able to spend more time just focusing on myself, you know, not having to prioritize others. And as a result of that, I would become better, and then I would be able to offer more value to others. Yeah. And that's what, like, that's what I'd be doing. My businesses would then be getting funded more to get on a bigger scale. I'd actually be able to employ staff who were like specialized, just like decent enough in certain areas to run an actual small business.
Right? Yeah.
Whereas like, at the moment, we've still got our ass favors, we've still got our youth friends, you know, we're still growing. Do you know what I mean? You can't, it's not possible because you haven't got the funds to do that. So I think it would excel everything quite a lot. But in terms of what would be different, or what might seem like it'd be quite different, is I would just probably spend originally a lot of time focusing on myself and just minimal time working on my businesses, or the minimum required amount of time working on my businesses. And then after that, I'd probably be at a really good point myself, try and maintain that, and then I'd probably excel more with the business and help more people than ever. I think that's what I would do.
Okay, guys. Okay, I have a question for you.
Let me just can plug this in. This is very highly technical, this, I'm telling you.
Johnny's been running around. Rick have just been sat here not doing anything. Yeah, like, Rick's been.
If we do it, I'm going to blow something up. Yeah. And it's not even meant to blow up.
This is why.
It's wild. This is why, you know, doing this stuff. It always looks easy when you see it on Instagram.
Yeah. Like, don't see the process, do they?
We'd have somebody.
Mate, we'd have a studio. We'd have a studio where a producer would just be going, hang on a sec, guys. And we'd just be sat
here. Yeah. Let me turn this level up a little bit. Yeah, it's fine.
One day, it'll happen. It will happen. Yeah. This will happen.
So, what was the question I was going to ask now? So, basically, you were saying, like, in terms of, and this is something probably for more me and you, Jack, really, at the moment, because I feel like, Rick, in terms of your self-development, you are very ingrained at the moment. And I think it's probably because of your businesses. But I think for you, Jack, as well, like, it's a similar question for myself, actually. When was the first time when you thought, you know what? And I know with you, Jack, you're a very selfless person. And you know, and I think we've talked about it a few times, haven't we, about the fact that when you're a teacher, you give a lot out, but you don't really get that much back, you know? And that's just how it is. I thought I'd had a nightmare. So I'd say to you as well, like, when was the first time when you started to look inside yourself rather than and work on what's in within you rather than being so accommodating to other people? And what started to happen at that point in your life?
Oh, good question.
Have you got an answer already?
I suppose it was when I stopped teaching and I made that leap to you know, give acting and modelling a go. Because it was the unknown. It wasn't like I didn't go.
Yeah, completely.
I want to be an actor model at all. I wanted to be a PE teacher. And I completed it. And I got there and I was dead happy. Loved it.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoyed it. Like, really loved it as a job. And then just by chance, you know, got an opportunity. And then I just, that snowballed and I just kept getting opportunities. And then I think I really had to kind of, again, look inside myself and go, you do have to be selfish here, in, like you were saying before, in a good way for me, because I think up until that, and I think even now, to be honest, I do struggle with being selfish at times, because
it's weird, because being selfish can be one of the most selfless things you can do in a strange way.
And I think that, and again, I think it comes over time. I think it becomes of, you know, you. I think all of us are constantly trying to evolve. And I think that's where you do have to look inside yourself, and you're constantly asking yourself why. You know, the fact that, you know, the other night when we were just talking about was that we all, you know, journal and set ourselves goals. And
what, reading me
like
a bedtime
that.
Story?
Yeah. Cut the picture and do that. We've got to put the picture.
Yeah, we've got to put
it
the
is
picture,
that,
yeah.
though. It's, I think it's always, it's searching within. And I think it's the same thing of, you know, about when you go in, like say, about your happiness and stuff like that. It's you realise, like, you are ultimately your happiness. And I think that's what it was for me. It was when I finally went, oh, I'm not doing this to please other people or for other people. I'm doing this for myself, and I'm going to back myself and go in the unknown. And that was, like I say, that was 12 years ago now. And throughout that 12 years, I've had constant battles with that, whether it's, you know, I've had to have tons of jobs. I still do jobs now where I'm like, you know, you have to financially support yourself and do, you know, going back to that other question, that's exactly what I do. I just have more time for myself to focus on myself and be, you know, working on myself. Because it's really important to do that. And again, I think over time, and as you get older, you realise that you do have to work, you know, you can't help other people if you can't help yourself.
100%.
I think that's just, you know, a life lesson that you constantly have to check in with yourself to do that, and
it's,
I do.
It's the constant, isn't it?
It's the constant of the, and that, again, that's why journaling's a, you know, a fantastic habit to pick up. It's again, for me it's, you know, that morning routine of doing my yoga. That's been a huge part for me over the past few years of being selfish and checking in on myself and not going to emails, not going to, you know, before anything else, I am doing this for me. And that has been a huge help for me in the past few years. And actually recently, because I did it for every day for like 3 years, and then I didn't. Up until like 5 weeks ago, I stopped doing it for 2 months. And I think you both will notice there was a massive change in me. And again, it's that, again, you can't constantly do it. Again, it's, nobody's perfect. Nobody, you know, we all have our ups and downs and tough days, and it's all, you know, other factors. But actually, when you look within and you search within, you realise, like, no, you are in control of your own destiny. You're in control of your own happiness. And if you don't make time for yourself, it's not going to end well. And, so your answer to your question is probably it was the initial leap of. Yeah. I'm going to try and do this career that I don't have a clue about.
And it's what you said before as well about, you know, you didn't go on holiday for a long time because you were so desperate to make this thing work because it was going. And we talked about it in JF Media, because you go against the grain of, you know, your parents thought, Jack's a teacher, bang, he's sorted, that's it. And then you turn around and go, actually, I want to be an actor. I've been watching a few McConaughey films, and I think I can have a go at this. Yeah. And they're like, "What?"
Yeah, but again, like going back to you, they were so supportive. Because again, I think they knew that was always in me, especially my mum. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was always, you know, cracking. Again, in our house, if you spoke, it'd have to be something of worth, or it had to be funny. And if it weren't, you were getting buried. Do you know what I mean? So, and they always, like, my mum would always say, like, you belong, you know, you were born to be on the stage type of thing. But again, the you know, that working class mentality, that graft of, and a noble pursuit of becoming a teacher was a huge achievement for me personally, especially the fact that I wasn't that academic.
We love teachers, by the way.
It was a huge thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm extremely proud of the fact that that was another thing. If I did have money, I would teach. You know, I just do it on a different scale. The game's changed now. It's doing stuff like this, being able to offer insight. It's again, I think we're all teachers, and I often say I am a student of the game of life. I'm constantly looking to evolve and learn. I think when you think you know everything is going to be a bad day, really. And I think that's all happened to us as well. You know, sometimes you do think like I've completed it, mate. You realise very quickly you haven't. And that's great. That's what's great about life. It's great about failing. It's great about having opportunities, new opportunities, because they are brand new. And that's what's great. I love about my job when I do go on set and I do you know, you're working with new people, you know, whether it's a script, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a shoot, whether it's like a fashion shoot, there's so many factors, and that's what I love about my job. It isn't normal. It's very weird and wonderful. Some of the stuff I've got to do over the years is
I think is like going on from that as well. Is there anything about this journey that you weren't expecting yourself? Like, you went out and, you know, I'm an actor now. Is there anything along that path there where you thought, wow, that's mad? Like, I did not expect this. Is there anything along that path where you thought, I didn't think I would get here?
Oh yeah, because there was a blueprint with becoming a teacher.
Yes,
I went to university. Well, I went from high school to college to uni, and then you'd go to a school. You'd hopefully get a job. I was very fortunate. I got a job straight away. Then you become a head of a department, a deputy head. There is a pathway. What I fell into was complete luck. It was complete chance. It was totally the unknown. And now I've got to a point where, again, because I've always liked to think that, you know, a bit of a sponge, and I'd like to think. And again, I always deep down I've always wanted to make films. I've always wanted to create stuff. And now I'm at the opportunity in my life where I'm starting to do those roles, like directing, like producing, you know, working with you with JF Media, do you know what I mean? Working with you, like the chance how we met is a perfect opportunity, the example of that.
And you know what? This takes us back, actually, to that first point, because with you, because I know you, and it's easy for me to see these things because you don't see them yourself, but I do believe in chance and luck, but I also believe in the person that you actually are. And I think giving yourself enough credit for that blueprint that we all had from being young is the fact that the reason that you're in the room with people like me and Rick, we choose to be around you. We're not your family. You know, we're stuck with those assholes. Do you know what I mean? We're stuck with them no matter what. They're our family. But we choose to be in the room with you. And I feel like the chances and the luck, because of who you are, puts you in those positions. So I don't think it's as much chance or luck. I think it's because you are the person you are. Like I always say, the technical camera crap, I can teach that to a monkey. But the manners, the people skills, the actually giving a shit is something that's instilled in you, and that's why it's easy to be around you, and it's easy to like you. And it's like, you know, even when I didn't really know you when we first met, I was like, yo, you cool guy, man. He cool, man.
No, what we did, when we clicked, it was like, yeah, I like this guy.
We just kept nodding at each other, like, just, yeah.
But you know,
yeah.
I think it's that, isn't it? I think when you're self-aware,
yeah, it's true,
and you,
yeah,
when you're in a room and you go into a group of a group of strangers in a room, or any context, whether it's work, whether it's you know, whatever. It's being humble enough to go, I don't know it all. I'm going to get to know these people. I'm going to be polite with and kind with everyone. And I'm going to give them the opportunity to listen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn, and I'm going to speak about, you know, me and where I'm from. Mm. But ultimately, you know, learning from others is how you grow.
Yeah, it's true.
The perfect example the other day was when we were sat in that cafe. And we were putting the worlds to rights, having a well-earned, you know, break. And this old lady just totally, you know, to be honest, which was rude, just totally interrupted us.
She bulldozed the conversation.
It was hilarious. She was like,
we've got respect.
Were you talking about that? No, we, you know, did I just say? But again, respect for older generation, you know, the fact she was a lady. She was clearly making an effort. You know, and we had a chat with this lady for 10 minutes, and it was about a sad state of affairs.
She had a chat with us for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Her husband walked, and it was like, you could see him, you know, he was like, she's done it again.
She ran that entire conversation.
But it was class. But again, it was...
for 5 minutes, I had no clue what she was speaking about.
It was funny because, again, we were all respectful.
Yeah, well-mannered.
We were all... We listened, we engaged, and we took things from the conversation. And again...
Was she smiling?
Well, that's exactly, we give her the time of day. And I think that's, you know, sometimes that's all it takes. It's being self-aware to go, this person wants to have a... And I know people are like, yeah, but I can't do that. I ain't got time for that. sometimes you need to make time for that and actually empathize with people. And I think that's what it is. It's empathy, ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
I think...
the way you make someone feel is ultimately more important.
It's important. Yeah, yeah. And I think if you are self-aware and you are educated, and it doesn't mean about being the smartest person in the room or, you know, and again, it's not about your background or anything. It's having the ability to be humble and go, I will listen to this person. I will engage with the conversation. I will take from what this person has said. It might be absolute nonsense, but if you're smart enough to know that, you will go, okay, I'll take that on board. I'm not going to listen to it, but ultimately, you might learn something. That is what life is about for me. It's about meeting different people, taking the good, learning from the bad, and moving on. And fortunately for us, we are constantly, like I say, evolving and constantly want to get better. And I think that's why we've become so close. And it was interesting when we were talking about it before, about, you know, where it's like we absolutely dive into things. During lockdown, it was a complete negative for a lot of people. Yeah. We were end up doing 20 reps in Rick's garage. Do you know what I mean? We went into a place that
it was hell.
It was hilarious. It was that bad. When I was doing a triathlon, I was saying to myself, "This isn't as bad as Rick's," and it got me through it. It's stuff like that. It's pushing each other. Mm.
We didn't even like Rick the whole time.
It was
time,
mad. Though. I was just like, who's this Rick?
I like
Why
him
have you
now.
Introduced me, Johnny? I thought we were friends. It was, wasn't it? And again,
he kept coming back,
and we still come back. And that's it. As you get older, you pick your friends, you pick your family. We are family now. Like, we are that close. Like, we spend a lot of time together, and having the ability to do this, where we've come away, and again, I think we all needed it, to be honest. Mm. And it's been top. Considering the year I've had, this has been a major highlight, especially towards the end. And I think, again, moving forward, I think it's something that we will try and incorporate into 2023. Mm. And hopefully we'll do podcasts as well, and, you know, hopefully the audience will be able to go, oh yeah, I remember they did the first one, you know, and we'll go to different places, and we can grow and do different things. And, you know, shout out New Zealand if you want us to come out. Or Australia,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
We're
happy
is.
To travel, you know what I mean?
I'm getting a phone call off New Zealand right now.
Oh, here it is. It's Sunny Bill. Hey, bro.
Is that Rick?
It's not a New Zealander now. I'll be like, that's not how we sound.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, come on.
I hate him. He can never come.
You're not allowed. But yeah.
Hmm.
You need to answer yours now. I want to know your bloody answer.
What was the question?
The question was about when in like your career, or when you realised you had to take that step for yourself.
Mm.
And then Jack obviously said it was when he was acting.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And then we obviously, like we are, we were speaking about automatic stuff. So we've got way away from that question now.
You asked the question.
I know, I asked the question as well. That's a mad thing. For me, what it was when I took myself out of my comfort zone when I started a business, and really, you know, during lockdown and stuff, I had a job and like I came away from that again, and it came to a certain point for me where I had to really start to piece myself together and think about what it is that I had to do to start a business. So in the sports, in the fitness, in the, you know, the practical side of things, I'd always excel. But when it comes to the business, I was fresh. I didn't know what to do. So at that point, I really had to find who I was as a businessman as well. And to really kind of look at myself and say, you know what? I'm not good at this stuff. It's not natural to me. I'm not very organized by nature. I've learned how to be organized, but, you know, maybe I've just not done enough organization in my past. That's all, really. But I had to really try to sort of like do that. And I had to do that by looking at myself a little bit closer and looking at why I did certain things, why I avoided certain things, and why they were sort of struggles for me, when other people seemed to find it quite good and quite easy and quite comforting.
you know, because, you know, being organized, people, you know, it's like we know certain people, and if they don't have a plan, they lose it, they lose their minds. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like when you go away with someone and they're like, we have to do this now, we have to do this later, this is on at 11, this is on at this is on at 12, we need to go here, it takes two, like, and the whole trip's planned out before, and like people, and some people we know, like, if it wasn't planned out like that, they'd absolutely lose the shit. But I, you know, I'm chill, you know, I'm not like that. So I think it's kind of like taking and learning that and thinking, well, why is that? You know, why does that make me feel anxious when somebody's like that? Or is it a me problem, or is it a them problem? And figuring out, like, you know, in business and how people succeed. So I think that was the time when I really had to assess myself, because I was the person who was running the business. So it was at that stage where I thought, you know what, I need to figure out who I am a little bit more, and why I do things, and start asking myself why a little bit more. And that was the point for me when I decided, okay, I need to stop entertaining other stuff around me. I need to stop going out. I need to stop, and not that going out's a bad thing, you know what I mean, or anything like that, but I need to really figure out how I'm going to move to another level and actually make my business a success and not feel like I'm always struggling and stuff. So that was the stage when I had to think, well, I need to be a little bit more selfish. I need to be centered in the things that I know I'm good at, and I need to learn the things that I don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's the kind of one thing we do share it in a way, is that we'll always lean towards growth. We'll always lean towards difficult conversations if they have to happen, you know, and I think that's why when it comes to us three in particular, that, you know, the way I feel is that, you know, I'll always be you know, working towards something. I'll always be trying to get better. I'll always be trying to provide for people around me, whether that's experiences or, you know, good vibes. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes that's all I've got. Do you know what I mean? Like, anything else. But I mean, like, in terms of, I'm always going to be useful, I'm always going to be valuable, because it's what I do all the time. It's what we practice, it's what we do. So, you know, I'm always going to be good. I'm always going to be striving. I'm always going to be getting better. I'm always going to be doing things. So, and I think that's why us three in particular, we don't need to ride trends. We don't need to do gimmicks, because it's just something that we'll always be growing towards something. And you know, that's the way I feel about what I'm doing now. I'm in it for the long run. I'm not out here trying to do TikToks and stuff, you know, even though I will do TikToks and stuff, but it's just one of those situations.
It's one of my favorite things when he does a TikTok.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it is one of those, like, I don't need to ride trends. I don't need to do trading sounds, because what I, you know,
you spent a lot of time focusing on yourself, finding your vision, mission. We've been going for a while. I think we there's a couple more questions that I would like to ask, but we could part to it one day, because we've got a fair bit here. I want to throw one out dead quick, but you've got to just answer it as it is. You can't go on about anything, right?
I think we've seen in this podcast that don't work for me, mate. What is it, one, like, one word answer, or is it just short? Short and sweet sound. Okay.
10 words, yeah. Let's leave with something today, and let's leave with a recommendation of, like, what is, because obviously we've been reading here and this, that, and the other. What is one book, and because I think it reflects you as well, the book that you might recommend. What is one book that you, or like your top book that you would highlight? summary of why. I'll go first. Mine's Atomic Habits. It was a catalyst to a life event of empowering yourself with small habits, and it led on to me reading tons of other books, which have then, this endless list of books which have been incredibly empowering for myself. Just the power of small habits, and just the least, the path of least friction in order to create considerable change. That's a big one for me, and that's what I would recommend anybody listening to read to get started with things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a long answer. Shut up. As I was looking at him, I was like, he's going to say it's not a long answer. I should have gone, Atomic Habits, good.
Wow, that's so long. For me, you probably guessed this, which is a paradox. That book for me, it came into my life at a certain point where I feel like I needed it, and it helped me let go of a lot of stuff that was holding me back at the time. And it's the knowledge of knowing myself a little bit better and knowing why I do certain things. And that was what I took away from that book, and it gives you a clear image of what's going on, why you feel a certain way, what could happen. And it lets you know your behaviours a lot more, why you have these behaviours, and an explanation of why they happen. So I feel like anybody reading that would know themselves better. So it's almost like, help me 100%. Help you by letting you know how you are, yeah. So then you can so be
incredibly important.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 100%.
Love it. Yours?
Just a quick one before we say, again, I think reading is really important. I think it's something all three of us have a big belief in, and it's really important to do. So if you're not a big reader, just stick with it. It's really important to, and again, chat to different people, whether it's a book club or whatever. Just read a lot more. It's a fantastic habit or exercise to do, whether it's before you go to bed or in the morning, and I'm in different books. But the book I'd say that's really hit home for me recently in the past few years was David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me. Again, it's funny, these books come at a time in your life where I've always enjoyed reading. Again, it's probably why, again, as an actor and as a creative person, I love stories. And I think the best stories are true stories, and his story is incredible, but I think it's not just his story. I think it's the life lessons that he shares in that book, and those hard questions that you have to ask yourself. I think that's why it really struck a chord with me, and it kind of took me on a path that, has brought the best out of me and has challenged me and has constantly, it's made me who I am today, in the sense of, I kind of still check in with certain principles from that book. And he's got a new book out at the moment, so I can't wait to read that. So I'd say David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah,
stay hard.
Definitely, that one there, it sounds like the challenge in you is the big thing. It sounds like that book challenged you.
I think that's what it was. And again, for me, it's a true story. And the best stories are true stories. It's the ones that you're like, this can't be real. And you realise how,
that
as...
book is mad.
Yeah.
Because I listen to it on audio.
Yeah. And again, that's the other thing. If you're not great at reading, audio, like I love the physical feel of a book. That's my thing. And I want to listen to more audiobooks because you get a little bit more from these audiobooks.
Yeah, you can hear his voice.
Yes. And, but for me, it's just that's probably the child in me. I used to remember getting like Enid Blyton books and, stuff like that. Yeah, I'd go with that one. I think that's a real kind of...
I think if you read those three books, you'd understand yourself a bit more. You'd then understand how to do the stuff you wanted to do and put it into a system.
Mm.
And then you'd understand how to challenge yourself in order to push yourself to go further. So I think those are three fucking unbelievable.
I think we all are very fortunate of certain people in our lives, and I wouldn't have this opportunity if it wasn't for Johnny or for Rick. And it's interesting when you meet good people and you meet their friends, and then you realise, oh, actually, it's a recurring theme. It's good people around. There are great people everywhere, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So thank you so much, and definitely check them out on socials. Look out for what everyone's doing in 2023. This will be on I've got my own podcast, and I've not done a podcast for ages, so thanks for the boys for giving me the nudge to do that, and this will be on the Jack Johnson podcast as well. Get that one out.
Say that again, just for 1 second.
Oh, check out my podcast as well, the Jack Johnson podcast, especially, there's loads of great episodes on it, but there's a fantastic one with Joe Perusa, who's a mental health practitioner, and an amazing lady who we're all friends with. And
We all love Jo.
We love Jo. She's a real special lady, and that podcast of mine is the most listened to, and there's a reason for it, because she's great.
I was going to be
snide. No, I can't, man. She's top, man. She's top.
She'll listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. She'll bang you out, mate.
Oh, can I even say it?
But thank you so much, lads, for inviting me and getting me on this, because it's, again, it's so important to talk. And again, for men to talk, it's really important. You know, I think we've all at times struggled with our mental health or opening up and speaking. And that's what I love about us and our friendship group. You know, we can have the laugh. We joke about everything, but we can also get pretty deep and personal. And that's really important to have a group of friends like that. So I appreciate you boys. I love you lots. And yeah, thanks again to the girls for letting us have this amazing space, because it's been great. Safe.
Yo.
Safe. Rick Fit, JF Media.
Yeah, don't
come
know.
On.
Don't know.
But.
Done.
It's looking good, bro.
Right, bed.
I know, it's bedtime, isn't it? Journal time.
That's how you wrap up.